It's time to get our view usually from the middle. This time we're finding ourselves in the Sunshine State, Amelia Island, as they say, easy to reach, hard to forget. Site of the ongoing ACC meetings. Catches work for USA Today, usatoday.com, newsstands. On Twitter, it is at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are you on this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You've been to a lot of these media days or weeks, conference meetings. My cousins are about 2 hours south of you, near Daytona Beach. They tell me where you are is quite the destination. Is it all they tell me?
Yeah, it's really nice. Now, first of all, the place where the actual meetings are taking place is a Ritz-Carlton, so you can imagine how nice that is. But the entire island is a really neat place, and not overly commercialized, got a little bit of old Florida beach going on to it, which is pretty nice. So, and the weather right now is about perfect, about 85 degrees, not too humid. That's not too hot and not too cold, obviously, for if you want to be at the beach, it's warm enough to get in the water. So
nice. Now,
I've seen the water, but I have, you know, it's not like I've been in a lot of hotel lobbies that are cooled at about 60 degrees and wishing I had a sweater.
I know you're a runner, and I'm not a runner. I do my workouts, you know, differently. But whenever I go either to our Oregon coast or I go back east to visit my family, if I'm on the beach, I always get a run in on the beach. Are you someone who likes to take a run along the ocean?
Well, I've run along the A1A, which is the coast road here. I haven't gotten on the beach, mainly because, you know, maybe at low tide that would make some sense. I think at high tide it's probably there's probably not enough room to run. And, well, I mean, you want to run on the hard packed stuff,
yeah,
is my point, you know. And so I definitely don't want to run up there where it's really soft and it's really rough on your calves. And you get sand in your shoes. That's the other part about the whole deal. So I may just stick to the road.
All right. Well,
but it's picturesque anyway. I am intrigued by this whole I get my workouts in another way thing. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure where to go there.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I could send you a picture of my workout room. It's got an elliptical, a recumbent bike, the total gym, and I do Pilates and yoga from my Xfinity by Comcast.
Okay, so in other words, it's like sort of traditional sort of stuff. I mean, you've got a workout room. I just wasn't really sure if it was I had no idea if it was some new craze that, you know, you were afraid everybody wouldn't adjust to, even though in Eugene, everybody's way ahead of the curve when it comes to whatever the latest physical fitness craze is.
No, I'm not. I know with someone like me, if I'm not clear, people can jump to odd conclusions. But
I saw you studying somewhere in the Himalayas or something.
Right. There you go. So when it comes to football, the SEC, especially if you ask SEC people, they think they're the top guns in America. You now have Clemson winning the national title. Florida State beat Michigan in the Orange Bowl. You know, BC, NC State, Wake, Miami won their bowl games. If not for Bama, the SEC didn't have a top 10 team. So are the ACC folks kind of strutting their stuff thinking, you know what? We may be the top league in America right now.
Well, they are, and I think they. I mean, they are strutting their stuff, sure. And I think right now, at the moment, they are the best league in America, top to bottom. It starts, as always with these things, it starts with it. When you win a championship, then that gives you some bragging rights and causes people to think of you differently. But they've got two, no doubt, elite programs right now in Clemson and Florida State that are kind of trading. Trading back and forth to the top dog status in the conference, and you know, obviously both have won national titles over the last few years. Then you've got Louisville that has, you know, come up and played better with Bobby Petrino at the helm. They've got North Carolina, which is pretty good, and they got a bunch of sort of pretty good teams. They don't have any other real elite teams other than those top two. But you know, it's one thing to be here and say that's where we are. It's another thing for perception to get there where the rest of the country understands it, and it's still another thing to maintain it. And so I think maintaining that, which would also lead to people maybe all beginning to perceive, hey, yeah, this is a really good football league, not just a basketball league, that's the hard part, is maintaining it. So they're definitely feeling their oats, though. You know, they want a basketball championship and a football championship last year. And, you know, it's that's the third time they've done it. The SEC has done it three times in its entire history, and nobody else has gotten that, has done that many times. So it's kind of a, maybe the Pac-12 had done it two or three times too. John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, was telling me that today, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. But look, by almost any metric, the football had maybe its best year ever last year. They won, you know, all their bowl games. They, you know, they drilled the SEC in head-to-head matchups in the regular season, you know, and that's the big deal here is the comparison to the SEC. They don't want to make that out loud, but they know that's what everybody's talking about. So is it the best football league? I think it is right now. It was last year. It has a chance to be this year. Is it going to be perceived that way? I mean, even though the SEC was down around other than Alabama, which, you know, remains the best football program, I don't know that it's going to be perceived that way, because I think part of this is passion of fans is a big deal here too. And yep, there's no question that that's, you know, unparalleled in the SEC.
By the way, you've tapped into my obsessive nature. When we're done, we will be researching dual titles in football and basketball, and I won't rest until I get to the bottom of this, because that stuff fascinates me. I know for a fact UCLA in 72 and USC in 72 won their respective titles, so I'm off and running.
Well, you've got it. I mean, here's what I've got right here. I found it. The ACC did it this last year in 90-91 and 81-82, which that 81-82 off the top of my head, I'm assuming, was Clemson football and North Carolina yep, basketball, same as this year.
Yep.
The SEC's done it three times, doesn't have the years.
Florida did it itself, I think, in 06 or 07.
Yes, you're right about that. The Pac-12 has done it, you know, back when it was the 10 or even the 8, whatever.
Right.
And then the Big Ten's done it once. So Big 12's never done it. But so the SEC and the Pac-12, or whatever it was called in the earlier iterations, have done it three times as well. So
awesome. My obsession thanks you, and it will be solved. Dates,
I actually do have this. I'll just send it to you.
Okay.
I have all of them. I'll send them to you, and then you can then enjoy it. I'll email it to you after.
All right. Thanks a lot, George. The ACC, you mentioned, is always in the conversation basketball-wise. And, of course, it was weird because UNC won the title. Nobody else even made the Sweet 16. I saw some quotes from Roy Williams. Is there any talk of that looming academic scandal? Or right now, until the NCAA provides some kind of update or decision, are people kind of like not bringing that up?
Well, they don't want to talk about it, obviously. And Roy, of course, last time we heard from him was being very defiant about things at the Final Four, which, you know, good for you, Roy, but you may be about to get hammered. And by you, I mean not him personally, but the school, including his program. But here's the update. The update is, and Bubba Cunningham, the North Carolina AD, said this today, they have sent their response back to the NCAA from the latest notice of allegations. He expects that the redacted version of that to be released to the media and anybody else who does a Freedom of Information request over the next 10 to 14 days. Now, you know, so we'll know some of what's in there. Obviously, it'll be redacted. Then the Committee on Infractions is aiming towards a mid-August date, a hearing date with North Carolina. So if everything plays out on that timeline and there aren't any other delays, then you're looking at, I don't know, late September, early October potentially for a public report on what the Committee on Infractions decides. You're talking, you know, but basically you're talking in the fall. They might finally have some kind of a resolution, if that's even a resolution.
Yeah, the dismissive attitude may come back to bite some people for sure. This is at best semi-related, but I like to tie things together, especially this time of year. With the NFL saying it's thinking of shrinking its overtime from 15 to 10 minutes. First of all, I was a huge fan of sudden death. The college plan just annoys me in college to no degree. The Kansas plan, I meant. I'm not sure if we've ever had this discussion. For you personally, if they were to make you king of college football, and we realize that's just a matter of time, how would
right.
you how would you settle ties?
I like the college overtime as it is, except for this. I think instead of giving you the ball at the 25, they should give it to you at the 40.
Yeah, it's so not automatic field goal range.
Right, exactly. To me, even though, by the way, with college kickers, or if you follow Twitter, hashtag college kickers, I'm not sure that a kick from the, you know, from the 25, a 42-yard kick is not automatic in college, right?
Sure.
Even with the college goalposts. But I think giving them the ball at the 40 and continuing the same format would be fine. I think it's injected a ton of fun into college football. Even when you get into these wild back and forth that go several overtimes and they keep matching each other, and you know, after a certain number, and I can't remember which number it is, they get rid of the PAT and you have to start scoring, going for two every time, and that, you know, and that sometimes ends it, but it injects some more excitement into it. So I actually think that's a pretty good way to go. So maybe if I were going to make two changes, I would give you the ball at the 40 rather than 25 in college. And I would maybe take away the PATs from the get-go.
Ooh,
maybe it's always 2 points, 2 points or none.
Yeah, I think that's triple overtime and on. You got to go for two.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So, but I mean, if you just started it in the first overtime period, you know, that would be kind of a cool way to go. The other thing I would say is this: if I were the czar of NFL football, I would institute the same rules for overtime. I don't like the current NFL overtime rules. It's kind of like tricked up, like playing Nerf hoops instead of playing basketball. But I would institute the college rules, maybe with the two changes we just talked about.
I was reared on Nerf hoops. I was Dr. J at Nerf hoops.
We all have to excel somewhere.
Thanks, George. another topic I saw, and I also saw it on the ACC website. So they're talking about in basketball expanding the amount of league games from 18 to 20, but I guess they're talking about a new ACC network expansion. What have you heard about that? I got to be perfectly honest. It's the first time I'd heard about it.
Well, you mean an ACC network expansion? I mean, yeah, I don't know what you mean. You mean in regard to the scheduling or in regard to the...
Yeah, I know there's an ACC network. They're talking
right
about this partnership with ESPN that they're going to expand the network, I think.
Right. Well, so a year ago at Media Days, they announced what had been long sort of presumed is that they're going to have an ACC network. It's not going to roll out for another year or so. When it rolls out, it will be an over the it'll be a network that's, you know, I don't know if it'll look what the program will be like, look like, but it'll be like the SEC network is. You know, it's an ESPN-owned thing that the league partners with and probably will give them a ton of money, although I'm expecting that it probably won't be quite the same hit as the SEC network was, going back to the sort of the passion of the fans that we talked about a
right
few minutes ago. And that's what it's going to be. The reason that's become a topic again, less than a year after they announced that, hey, we're going to roll this out in a couple of years, is because with all the recent sort of issues at ESPN, you know, they had the big, all those layoffs recently. They had the, they've got all the questions about cable subscribers cutting the cord and what's the future for ESPN and that kind of thing. There have been questions as to whether the network would actually ever happen, the ACC network. And so they're assuring everybody that it is going to happen. And by the way, it has to happen. It either has to happen, or by terms of the deal that was struck, the ESPN has to pay them and I don't know what the number is, but a seriously large amount of money every year for the term of time that the network, you know,
right,
contract would be for. So if you're ESPN, it makes a whole lot more sense to go ahead and do the network where you can actually make some money off of it and then pay them kind of the same amount of money. So there's no real reason for them not to do that. So I think that's what you're talking
about.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about.
In other words, it was just sort of a fresh round of questions like, will this ever really happen because of the recent issues that we've all seen happening with ESPN? And the answers are, yes, it's all still on schedule to be launched.
I gotcha. All right, yeah, I was curious about that because I happen to love the conference networks, and, you know, it's just a great way to keep up. All right, George, interesting, informative, from sunny Florida, as always. We appreciate your time. You travel safe, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, man, thanks. Take care.
Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.